Whew, what is up, good people? It is your boy, Mike Savage, minister, motivational speaker, master certified life coach, your brother, your cousin, your friend. I'm here with another episode, and this one is going to be a little different from all the rest. I really got something on my heart, and I just want to share it with you guys. I want to pour into you as much as possible. And of course, I'm going to start with a story. Back in the day, it's only a few years ago, maybe 4 or 5 years ago. I was working at a restaurant at the current company that I work for, different restaurant, same company. But I was working at a restaurant and it was a very, very slow day. As I recall, I believe it was Super Bowl Sunday. And it was extremely slow. I'm talking about slow. Normally we would do 300 covers, 350, maybe even 400 covers a night. This night, I think we had like 120, 150 on the book. So it was an easy, easy day for us and our team. It was so easy, in fact, that we were literally playing games on the hotline. The person who was on ovens, I can't recall who it was, but there was like a stainless steel wall that comes up from the floor waist high. So it was right at her waist. And she pulled out her dry erase marker and she started playing hangman with the rest of the hotline right there on the wall. So she would draw the little lines, draw the little gallows, and everybody would guess a letter and we would play hangman. That's how slow it was. After we were through playing hangman, it went into hypothetical questions. What would you do if you were in this situation? What would you do if this were to happen to your family? Stuff like that. And we were having a good time with it. And one of the questions that was asked that really just put a stop to me. I mean, everybody else was still having a good time. They were still answering questions and we were, you know, getting through the night as best we knew how to get through it. But one of the questions that was asked that stopped me in my tracks was this question. One of the young ladies said, if you only had 24 hours to live, how would you want to die? And so, of course, everybody, they understood that it was a game. They understood it was a hypothetical question. They understood that it was just, you know, a what if type deal. So they were answering the questions. They were giving crazy answers. I would want to explode and just be chunks of me all over everybody so that would never forget me, so that they would never forget me. Another person said they would want to be like eaten by a shark or something ridiculous like that. So it was just, they got it. It was a joke. It was funny. So people were making light of it. And I'm sitting there stuck, like literally stuck. My mind is doing backflips. I'm like, what? This question just really just punched me in my face. If I only had 24 hours to live, how would I want to die? And here's the part that I could not get past. It was this, that if I had 24 hours to live, the only thing that I could think of is that if I had 24 hours to live, I would not be here at work right now. That's the only thing that I could think. If I knew that tomorrow I was going to die, I wouldn't even waste the energy to call in. Like, y'all would find out the next day what happened to me. I wouldn't even, and I love my job. I enjoy cooking. I enjoyed that restaurant. I enjoyed my coworkers. They were really good friends. I like spending time with them. But if I knew that I only had 24 hours to live, I wouldn't even show up to say goodbye. Like, I'm sure they would understand my sentiment, but the only thing that I could wrap my head around is like, why am I standing here working at this job if I know that 24 hours from now I'm going to be gone? My priorities shifted immediately in that moment. My priorities became immediately my wife. Like, I only got 24 hours to live. I gotta make sure she's taken care of. I have to make sure she never has to worry about anything after I'm gone. I have to make sure that she knows and understands how much I truly love her, how much I truly care about her. I need her to know some things. I need her to understand some things. I need to make sure she's gonna be okay. My priorities shifted immediately. I have to say goodbye to my family. I gotta make sure my mom, my dad, my sister, my brother, I gotta make sure they at least know that I love them and that I was thinking about them on my last day. I want them to know how much I care. I want them to know that I'm gonna miss all of them and that I hope to see them on the other side. I need them to understand how much I love them. My priorities shifted. I need to empty my cup. All of these giftings, these talents, these abilities that God has blessed me with, that I was supposed to use to leave an impact on this planet, I only have 24 hours to execute. I need to start writing. I need to start recording. I need to leave my imprint. I need to encourage somebody, to motivate somebody. I need to pour out. I need to empty my cup. I need to leave it all here because it's not going to benefit me on the other side. All of it was only purposed to benefit those that are here, that are living life, that are pursuing something, that are going after something. They need encouragement. They need inspiration. They need to be taught, to be trained, to be equipped, to be empowered, to be encouraged. And it is part of my legacy. It's part of my duty to do that. Now I only have 24 hours left. I need to get to work. And then after I snapped out of it, after I realized, oh, wait, it's just a hypothetical question. It's just a joke. It's just a game. But the impression was left upon me. All those things that became a priority on my last day, why am I not making those things a priority right now? Priscilla Shire, she is a phenomenal minister, preacher. She's written books. One of the analogies that I heard her use was this: you cannot dictate youth or oldness upon your age. Because if you're 20 years old, but you only have until you're 30, then you're pretty old. But if you're 50 years old and God sees fit to give you 110 years, then you're pretty young. And the point of the matter is, none of us know the day that we will expire. None of us know the day that we are going to breathe our last breath. None of us know the day when God is going to call us home. None of us know the day that the sky will crack open, the trumpet sounds, and Jesus returns, if that's what you believe. I do, but that might not be your bag, and that's okay. But none of us know our dying day. Yet we choose to prioritize so many other things other than those things that are the most important. So I need you guys to do me a favor. From the time you turn off this episode until the time that you close your eyes for that last day, I need you guys to do three things for me. Number one, I need you to be grateful. Be grateful, be thankful. Every time that you wake up in the morning and you get to open your eyes one more time and you get to take another breath and you get to feel the warmth of the sun on your face and you get to kiss your loved ones and you get to walk around and you get to see life, I need you to be grateful. From the time you get up to the time you lay back down, I need you to be grateful. Even if it's not that good of a day, I need you to be grateful for the rainy days because you're still alive to see that rain, to get wet with that water. I need you to be grateful even in the backaches and even in the sickness because you're still alive to feel that pain and to experience that. Be grateful for everything that comes your way. Why? Because you're alive to experience. Life is the gift. Life is the gift. Life is a gift. And I need you to be grateful for it. The second thing that I need you to do, super, super important, I need you to be honest. And when I say honest, I'm not talking about being honest with other people. That is very important, and it would be nice that you do that. But some people are going to take this honesty thing to the next level, and you're going to start reading people. You're going to start telling them all about theyself, and that's not what I'm talking about today. I need you to be honest with yourself. If you think about it, if the truth is what makes you free, then it is a lie that keeps you in bondage, right or wrong. It makes sense, right? Truth makes you free. Lies keep you in bondage. So the worst thing that any of us could do is lie to ourselves. You are literally putting yourself in a jail cell. You're literally putting yourself in handcuffs, in shackles. You are literally putting yourself into bondage. So stop lying to you. My dad likes to say it like this: if you lying to yourself, then I know you lying to me. So we got to stop lying to ourselves. Turn off the TV. Take some time and think about you. Take some time and spend with God. Take some time and look yourself in the mirror and be honest with you. You know that you have some habits that are not healthy. You know that you have some habits that are hurting you, that are hurting your loved ones, that are hurting people around you, and you know that they need to change. You got to be honest with yourself. Look yourself in the mirror and say it out loud. I need help with whatever it is. And then after you're finished being honest with yourself, be strong enough, be brave enough, be bold enough, be courageous enough to change those things about yourself. You know they're wrong. You know they're not healthy. You know they're not benefiting you. And if they're not benefiting you, then you cannot be the most effective person that you can be. And so it's not benefiting your wife. It's not benefiting your children. It's not benefiting the world around you. So be honest with you. Stop lying to yourself. Stop saying that you could quit at any time. Stop thinking that you can change when you want to. Stop saying that it's easy and I'll get to it then. I'll get to it later. Stop lying to yourself. Be honest. So that first thing was be grateful. That second thing was be honest. The last thing and the most important thing, in my opinion, I need you to be effective. I need you to be the most effective human being that you can be. And when I speak of efficiency, I'm talking specifically about purpose. Why are you here? What did God give you to do? What is the dream that He gave to you as a vision for you to accomplish? If God wants you to paint a house and you spend your entire life mowing the lawn and tending to the garden, the lawn is beautiful. The garden looks great. But have you truly accomplished your purpose? Some of us have spent years doing everything other than what it is that we are called to do. What we were created to do. What we were purposed to do. And I know it's difficult to understand. In the world that we live in today, we all want to have a choice. We all want to have a say. We all want to say that we are masters of our own destiny, and we make the decision as to what we will do, who we are, or what it is that we will become. And I understand that. I get it. And I agree with it to a point. But the bottom line is that the substratum, the foundation of who we are, we didn't have anything to do with that choice. This might get me in trouble. But like I said, I'm speaking from the heart. This is how I really feel. I truly love everybody who's listening. And it's not my intention to offend you, but I need to say this. The foundation of who you are, you did not get to choose that. Someone else made those decisions for you. It's just the truth. Now that you are an adult, now that you are old enough, wise enough to make some decisions on your own, go for it. But if you look at me, I'll use myself as an example. I did not choose to be born in Norristown. Someone else made that call for me. I did not choose to be 6'2". Someone else decided that for me. I did not decide to be black with a beautiful smile and a dimple. This is not even my face. And I like to say it like this. I didn't even know what my name was until somebody told me. When my parents kept calling me Michael, eventually I realized, oh, they must be talking about me. I didn't get to choose any of those things. I didn't decide who my family was going to be. I didn't decide what gifting or talent or ability that I would be blessed with. I got what I got. Now it's my decision to choose to use this gift. It's my decision to choose to live the life that I've been given, or to change it and move in a different direction. Everybody else has that same free will, has that same choice to make. But the basis and the foundation of who you are, you didn't get to choose those things. And I believe that purpose is given the same way. I believe our Creator, who designed us, who created us, who assisted in bringing us into this world, decides that this is what I need this person to do. This is the reason why I created Michael. I need him to speak. I need him to motivate and encourage. I need him to teach, to train, to motivate, to mentor, to equip and to empower, to speak into the souls of young men and women their true purpose and their true identity, and to assist them in taking dominion in the area of their purpose. That is what I've called him to do, and that's what I need him to do. And that needs to become a priority in everyone's life. So as I said before, I need you, I'm begging you, I'm pleading with you. If you are listening to the sound of my voice, if you have chosen to turn this podcast on and be a faithful listener, if you've chosen to download this, if you've chosen to support me in any type of way, if you really love me, if you really care about me, yeah, I'm laying it on thick. I need you to do three things for me. I need you to be grateful. I need you to be honest. I need you to be effective in this thing that we call life. You don't know when you might leave here. So I'm going to ask you the question the way it was asked to me. What would you do if you only had 24 hours to live? Stop and think. If you knew for a fact that you were going to die tomorrow, what would immediately become a priority and what would no longer be important? Once you've answered that question, I need you to figure out why that thing is not a priority for you right now. I love you. Stay tuned for the final thought. What do you do when you want to give up? What do you do when everything inside of you says quit and you can't find any other reason outside of you to continue to keep going? What do you do? Here's what I did. Now, this just happened a few days ago. I've been on a weight release journey. You know I don't like the word loss, because if I lose it, then I might find it. If I drop it, I might pick it up. If I shed it, I might regrow it, and I don't want any of it back. So I'm on this weight release journey, and I've hit what's called a plateau. Everybody has been there. You know what it is. So I'm stuck within these same 3 pounds, and it's been almost 2 weeks. And in my frustration, I wanted to give up. Just a few days before I hit that point, though, I had bought some weights, because, you know, I'm all in. I'm ready to change my life. I am changing my life. It's already happened. It's already started. So I got a 30-pound weight vest, and I got 2 5-pound ankle weights, and I got 2 1-pound wrist weights that I can strap to my wrist. And I put all of that on, and I also put on this backpack that I used to walk with. It's just a regular school backpack, had a couple of heavy books in it, a couple of 4-pound weights in it as well. And I put all of this stuff on me, and I stood on the scale. And when I looked down at the weight, it said 349.2 pounds. At my heaviest, I was 350 pounds. So I had literally bought enough weight to get me back to my starting weight 2 years ago. So fast forward a couple days, I get to this place where I'm sick of plateauing, or I'm tired, I'm still eating right, I'm still working out, but nothing's moving and I'm frustrated. So I put all of this weight in the car and I drive up to this park. I walk there a couple times a week. So I hop out the car and I gear up. 30-pound weight vest. Put it on. 2 pounds of wrist weight. Put them on. 10 pounds of ankle weight. I put them on. And then I take that backpack, which weighs about 40 pounds, and I put that on the front of me. I'm sure I looked ridiculous to everybody who was in that park that day. But I put all the weight on, I shut the car door, and I started walking. I walked for almost 2.5 miles with that weight on. And then I went back to the car, and I took it all off. 40-pound backpack. Boom. Listened to a thud as it hit my back seat. Took off the 2 pounds of wrist weight. Didn't make much of a noise, but I still threw it in the back seat. 30-pound weight vest. Boom. Felt the thud as it hit the back seat. Took off the 10 pounds worth of ankle weight. Boom. Boom. I shut the car door and I turned around and I started walking again. I had just taken off 75 pounds of weight and put it in my back seat. And as I started walking, I couldn't help it. I felt so light. I felt so free. And I started to jog. And I began to think to myself, a year ago, I would not have been able to take off 75 pounds. I would have just had to live with it. I'd have had to sleep with it, wake up with it, and walk around with it every day. But I just took 75 pounds and threw it in my back seat and walked away from it. I'm not where I want to be, but thank God I'm not where I used to be. I need you all to remember that you are not mistakes. You are a solution. I love you, and I'll see you on the next episode. What is up, good people? This is Mike Savage, and I wanted to come on and personally thank you for listening to my podcast. Do me a favor. If you enjoyed it, give it 5 stars. If you know somebody who needs to hear this message, share it with them. If you want to keep up with my content, follow me on Instagram at razorsedge_podcast and on Facebook at Savage Lifestyle Solutions. If you want to reach me or book me to speak, reach out to me by my email address, michaelsavagespeaks@gmail.com. I love you, and I look forward to hearing from you.